But I was talking to Alina, you know, we were just sharing, and she hit me with this quote. I said, who said that? And then she sent it to me the next day. It goes with a lot with what I'm talking about. It says, like, it goes like this: tolerance is the virtue of a man without convictions. Tolerance, you can put that on the screen for me. Maybe you write it down, write it up there. Tolerance is the virtue of a man or woman without conviction. That's Chesterton says that. Tolerance is a virtue, is the virtue of a man without conviction. And one thing I'm finding out right now, you see a lot, you find a lot of people in the church without conviction. Anything you do without conviction is a sin. Tolerance is the virtue of a person without conviction. So when you have no conviction, you tolerate different things. And that's why I want the Word of God to shape my conviction. When you stand for what you believe, you just know what you believe. You know, you're not there to fight with anybody. You just believe that we have nothing without the Holy Spirit. So I won't tolerate my life to live without a desperation for the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're dead. Guys, if our main priority here as a worship team is not to minister to God, it's just a concert. It's just singing songs. When you come to God, when you open the Bible, if you're not aware, what does it say in Hebrews chapter 11? One of my favorite verses, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible to please God without faith. What is faith? Faith, it says, anyone who believes God exists, you come to him, know that he exists, and he will reward those who earnestly seek him. So, please, I pray, I said, Lord, build our conviction. You know, there's one verse in the Bible. Of course, there's one verse in the Bible. The tolerance is the virtue of a man without conviction. I tell you, that's one of the quote I'm going to put in my mouth, because I'm like, yeah. Holy Spirit, we need power. We need conviction. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 8. Open your Bibles. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly. You see that word? A coward is someone without conviction. I think that's one word we missed from that verse. It says the cowardly, the coward, those who fearfully, without conviction. The unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, medium, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fury lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. All right, let's close that, because I feel like I could just teach right there. But I want to finish the ministry gift. Conviction. Let the Lord build your conviction. Father, we humble ourselves before you today. Lord, we thank you for the work you've already done here, for how you soften our hearts with your presence, Lord. Lord, we know, once again, we confess that without you, we have nothing. We're desperate for you. We thank you that you're mindful of us. And right now, Father, I open, just give you the next moment that you would teach us, Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord. Teach me first. I want to acknowledge nothing else but the cross. Holy Spirit, I understand as well as a pastor, as a teacher, I can teach, I can speak, but until you convict the heart of those listening, I'm wasting my heart, my time. So I remove myself, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, Spirit of conviction, Spirit of truth, Spirit of life, Spirit of revelation, welcome. Teach us, Lord. Admonish us. Pull us up to your level. Cause our hearts to burn, like, you know, we read in Acts. The Bible says Peter was preaching, the heart of people were, it says their heart were pierced. And they asked Peter, what must we do? Then he said, repent. Change your ways. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would change our ways. You change our mind to your ways, to your mind. We love you, Lord, and we submit to the authority of the Bible. In Jesus' name, and you saints say, amen. Awesome. So here we go. Last week, if you missed it, go and listen to it on our website. We've been talking about the fivefold ministry gifts and why did Jesus give the fivefold ministry gifts? He gave the fivefold ministry gifts so we wouldn't be just pew Christians. All right, so if you don't know what that means, go back and listen to it because I'm not going to repeat it again. The fivefold ministry gifts were given to the church to equip the saints so you can do the work of the ministry. A lot of times people put emphasis on the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, you know, the prophet. I talk about, you know, what an apostle is prophet. I also talk about prophet. And I think I was right there at evangelist. One verse we did go over, and I want to go back to it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 31. It says, verse 12, 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed to the church. First, now remember, in the English tradition translation, there is first, second. In the original manuscript, there is no numerotation. It's not like apostle is first. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes in our English mind, we could be, oh yeah. Oh, the apostle is first. There is no first, second. You know, there is no, like, what do you call that? There is an order, but it's not like, oh, I'm first. And that's the mind, even the prophet. You remember I told you a story about this prophet who showed up in our church, and he had a word from the Lord. And I asked him, I said, so who is your pastor? Where you come from? And he said, well, what do you mean? I'm a prophet. So he thinks because he's a prophet, he shouldn't have a pastor. So it doesn't matter what fivefold ministry gifts you work, I mean, you function in, you should always be under authority. Be very careful about following anyone who has no accountability. A pastor, your mentor, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, ask them, who's your pastor? Who's your spiritual authority? And that goes to all of you here, because there are a lot of people, they just go to church. They just want to go to church. They don't want any accountability. They don't want to be in covenant anywhere. They don't want to be member of any place because they don't want accountability. That's very dangerous. You need accountability. You can't do church online either. The preacher you listen to online, God bless him, but he's not your pastor. He's not responsible for your soul. And I say the same thing here. I said it here. I'm going to repeat. Because you come here to Restoration once in a while, or twice a month, or every month, that doesn't make me or our leadership, that doesn't give our eldership spiritual responsibility for you. That's why I shouldn't be worried about the members, the church, the people that goes down to this church. Because God's going to hold me responsible for the people he entrusts me. All right, so I wanted to clarify that. When it says here in the NLT, first are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers. It's not numeration where this person goes before the other person. It's like the I guess in the army or in the navy, you have ranks, right? You know, for those of you who were in the military, you know what I'm talking about. You know, like a little sergeant is a little sergeant when the soldier. Call a big officer, you know, like captain showed up. Hey, this is captain. You see, in the fivefold ministry gifts, God give those gifts to submit and to work with one another. Submit and work with one another. But, and of course it says, once again, apostle, prophets, teachers, and those who do miracles. You understand that, go back to let me finish reading this. Those who do have the gift of healing and those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership. That's one verse you need to underline in your Bible. Leadership, the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages, those, that's a gift too. You know, there is a statistic coming out that scientists are coming out to find out that when you speak in tongue, when you pray in unknown language, actually you're, I mean, it's amazing. I'll get Felix to share that someday. But yeah, I'm actually learning this too, because if it wasn't important, Jesus wouldn't say those who believe will speak in unknown language. So don't disqualify yourself saying, well, I don't want this, or you should want it. As a believer. And if you don't pray in tongues, you should want it. Be like, Holy Spirit, you promise this is for me, for believers. I receive it, Lord. Because I tell you, that's one thing that the enemy, he doesn't understand. It edify you. We speak more about that later. It says the gift of leadership, those who speak in another language. Just because you are gifted in one area, that doesn't disqualify you for not serving in other areas. Let me say that again. Because you are gifted in one area, that doesn't disqualify you in other areas. Now, if for those of you who were here Friday night, we're talking about authority. Those people who are in church leadership, the first disposition of heart they should have is a heart of servant. So, for example, I know in Haiti, we used to say it a lot of times, like, mbagin fadusa. You guys remember this? When somebody says, mbagin fadusa, meaning, I don't have the burden. I don't have the burden. I actually went and translated that in Spanish for my Spanish-speaking people. Yo no tengo esa carga. I butchered it. Yo no tengo esta entusiasmo. I'm learning. You no tengo esta entusiasmo. Actually, I like how that sounds. It's like I don't have the passion. I don't have the burden. You know, you see a servant heart don't think like that. When the master asks, and Jesus is our master, when he asks you to do something, has nothing to do with you having the enthusiasm. That's the English word. I don't have the passion. Oh, it's not in my heart. Each of you here, God gives a talent. And he's going to hold you responsible. You know, the best. Let's go here. Jeremiah, I forgot to tell you this verse. Jeremiah 48:10. Oh, listen to this. It says, a curse is on anyone who is lax in doing the Lord's work. Curse are those, but this kills it. You're like, oh, the prophet is speaking, so there is a curse on anyone who does the work of the Lord shabbily. Is that an English word? Not shabby, that's not an English word. I take that back. Is it? All right. Because sometimes I pull those words, I have no idea. I'm like, you know, of course, I know the Creole and English words, so I'm just translating. See, if it's good, it's good. If it's not, then I pull it back. So it's like, there is a curse on anyone who does the work of God with the wrong attitude. So I shouldn't be forced to do God's work. I should see it as an opportunity. Why do you think we always asking you, challenging you to serve, get involved, plugged, give yourself? But when you do it, don't do it grudgingly. Thank you, man. Come on, man. I got my cheerleader up here, man. Come on, thank you. That's what I want. Got my cheerleaders up here. It's great. You shouldn't do it like that, because when we do it lax, there's a curse. It's not blessed. So if I ask you to do something, you willingly do it. And later on, you're going to find out, even the Bible talks about even us pastors, church leaders, elders. It says when you serve God's people, don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it like it says, don't even do it because you're getting something out of it. And then Paul goes on, he's like, I am compelled. I will still be a pastor whether I'm supported or not. Actually, I've been a pastor without support. I've been there, done that. So it's not, the motive is not the money. I told you, the more I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, okay. Now, you know, I think I have a number if I would really want to get paid. Seriously. Yeah. I feel like if this is going to be a job, this is what I want to get paid. And probably nobody can pay me that number because it would be too much. That's why it's not about the money, what you can get out of it. Curse it. Oh, is it gone? A curse is on anyone who lacks in doing the Lord's work. Sloppy work in God's name is cursed. Sloppy work. Now you understand when we say God is a God of excellence. So when we, you know, you look at people in the world, musician in the world, you know, Satan, Lucifer, he was the master of the choir. I mean, Satan, he blessed people. He give people a lot of people are gifted musically, you know. And they can play all kinds of instruments, any different ways. And sometimes I look, people in the world, you see how they put devotion. They put excellence in doing something for the devil. But us in the church, we lax. We sloppy. If I'm going to have a small church, it could be one room. It's going to be the best small church ever. Thank God we might have to start with a $100 keyboard because, you know, maybe the finance is not there. But I'm going to trust God when I'm going to play. I'm going to play with the best instrument. You're like, man, you pay $5,000 for this guitar. Yeah. It's a D28. I didn't buy it for me. I buy it for the Lord. Because I do not offer my God anything that's sloppy, that doesn't worth so much. You know how many times we just give God the leftovers? And that goes to the way, even that goes with the way we pursue God. When it's convenient, I do it. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's not worth it. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day. I said, well, if our friendship doesn't cost us, if we only get together when I have nothing else to do, it's not worth it. Just think about, oh, I have nothing else to do today. Let me go see so-and-so. Really? How about scheduling it, making, just shuffle things around because I want to connect? Are you with me? Same thing with God. You will never find time for personal prayer. You will never have time to shut everything else to go seek God. Unless you put it on your calendar, you make it a priority. That's one verse we should never forget. Cursed is who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. I think that's the King James, right? It says deceitfully. Slackness, slacking. A lot of people, they get into those fivefold ministry gifts. They desire them because they want to be known. Yeah, a title. I remember there was this guy in our church. He was just a normal brother. I don't care if you call me Ricardo, brother, beloved, pastor. My name is actually Ricardo. I am a plumber. I'm called in pastoral office, all right? You know, some people, they get offended if you don't call them evangelist so-and-so. You know how ridiculous that is? But it's because they want to be known. So we had this brother. He was just brother so-and-so. And, we didn't know. He got promoted. Promotion do come from the Lord. But sometimes church leaders can promote somebody too. But you understand, the person that gives you power or the chance to be promoted, he also has the power to de-promote you. Is that a word? All right, that's good. And if it's not, if it wasn't, now put it on your vocabulary. Glory to God. Devoted. Demoted? Demoted. Hallelujah. God, thank you. Bless my teachers. I'm still learning English, and I said I'm getting better every day. I love it. Thank you so much. So then, of course, they give this guy, elder, deacon so-and-so. And then the next day, a brother from the church saw him. He's like, yeah, brother X. And he's like, hang on. You can't call me brother X anymore. You have to put deacon for my name. Respect. Now I'm not just your little brother X. But I love what it says in verse 29 in 1 Corinthians. It says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability of speaking unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So before I tell you verse 31, I'm going to jump to Romans chapter 12. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. This is the warning. Now, of course, in the context of the fivefold ministry gifts, I told you already, you can't go to school to be a pastor. You can't go to school to be a prophet, an evangelist. Now, it's good to go to school to get educated. Okay? If you want to get some degrees, doctorate, glory to God. But that does not qualify you for the fivefold ministry gifts, because those gifts, Jesus gives them. Jesus chooses the person. The Holy Spirit chooses. You can't be like, oh man, you know what? Let me see what I'm going to choose here. You know what? I really like the definition. Put that on the screen. Put our thing on the screen here. It's like, I really love the... Let's see. The apostle called to establish. I don't really like to leave Virginia Beach. I really like, let me see. The prophet, they called to hear God. You know what? I really like this, to reveal God's intention. You know how awesome that is? When you speak God's mind. I think I'm going to go for that. All right, Lord, I'll take that one. Please, this is the warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Amen? So that's why I encourage you to do your part. Get involved. I mean, even for those of you who are gifted with leadership ability, I say get to know the people. Because, you know, it's like me, I mean, you hear me all the time. I am your, for those of you who receive me as your spiritual leader, when you dream, you're probably going to see me. And it's not abnormal. It's because I am the angel of this church. I am the one God established here as the pastor. And as long as I'm following Jesus, follow my example. And I am devoted to keep my eyes on Jesus. So it's okay if you hear me talking in your voice, on your mind too sometimes. Some of you might hear me talking in your head. It's okay. But it's not necessarily me. It's just like, because I am your shepherd, you know my voice. That's it. Sometimes you might hear your conscience and you hear, you know, my accent. You hear me making words up, you know, all that stuff. It's okay. But you need to understand, like it says here, we are Christ's body. We are many parts and we belong to each other. In His grace, God has joined us, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. I like that. In His grace, God has given us certain things to do, has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So for those of you here who are prophetically in tune, please talk to me. I want to hear what God's giving you. I want to, you know, share with me. That doesn't mean, because sometimes you might hear something and it's to pray. All right? So I'm saying it again. If God gives you the ability of prophecy, speak out as much as faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. You know, we used to have Donna, Kitchen Donna, Mother Donna. She's kind of retiring a little bit. Now we have Deacon Dion and June back there as hospitality. You know, they're doing it well. You have Pauline. You have, I could name so many names. You know, you got you guys, the Howards. You know, when you serve, do it well. And so many times we put emphasis on the fivefold ministry gifts, but this goes along with the fivefold ministry gifts. Because the Holy Spirit gives those gifts for the enrichment, the edification of the body of Christ. So when you serve, serve well. Do it well. Don't do it like you're doing it for me. I can't. Please, don't do it for me. As a matter of fact, if you're doing it and you're doing it wrong, I'll sit you down. Oh, yeah, I will. Excellence. Now, don't freak out behind the camera, okay? There's so much grace. I tell people, our media team, as they angel, yeah, it's all good. Don't. There's grace. We're not trying to, it's not about being perfect. Uh-uh. But when we serve God, we serve Him. We thrive to be perfect in all we do. All you do. At work. At your job. Do your work like if you were working for God. Then you would be blessed. All right? If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is to teach, teach them well. If your gift is giving, give generously. There's no gift as stinginess. Stingy is not a gift. Some people don't like to give. You know that? Some people don't like to give. There's no burnout in the Lord. Let me tell you this. Don't say, look, ask yourself, what can I do for my church? Where can I serve? Even if it's once every 6 months, be an usher. Help the kitchen staff. Get on the media team. Get on the prayer team. Get on the hospitality team. What is the Lord placed on your heart to do? Do it. I challenge you. Do it. If your gift is to encourage, do it. Well, encourage others. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Don't show up late. You know, I can't remember who told me this. Was it maybe Louis told me this? Somebody told me this. It's like this. They had this one team, basketball team. The best player show up first, and he's the last one out. The best player in the team, in one team out there. I'm not going to mention his name because you know. And he was the best. And everybody acknowledged, noticed, he's the first one there. He's the last one out. I'm always the first one here. And always be the last one out. And something I told my team, I said, when we're here, we're not here for the service. Once we step foot here, we step in the Holy of Holies, we make room for the Holy Spirit until, this is my point of view, perspective. Until everybody's gone, ministry is still here. Opportunity is still here to minister. So it's not like, oh, it's 12 o'clock, God bless you, and then boom, we're done. We're done? No, we're not done. Because you would be surprised how many times things happen when what we call the service is done. Nobody come up for prayer, but no, one person wanted to talk. Somebody didn't show up, but then, you know what, on my way out to the car, the Lord's like, well, reach out. Then before you know it, I had to go and drive and just be ears to listen. Do it well, guys. God calls you to do something, put some little desire in your heart. Do it well. He's giving you the responsibility, giving you the leadership ability. Take that responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And if your responsibility, do it gladly. So, you remember that verse 31 I said to you? I mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 31. Paul said, I am going to show you, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And I'm going to finish with that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Have you ever noticed a minister of the gospel, very gifted, but very poor in life, in managing life relationships? Let me tell you this again. Somebody who's just very gifted, but they don't know how to talk to people. They're so rude. Man, it doesn't matter how you grew up. I grew up, I had a very terrible upbringing. Lots of abuse emotionally, physically. I was hurt. I didn't like people. I love church. I love to play music. Kendra told you, by the time the pastor is giving the benediction, I'm already out. Because I don't want to shake anybody's hands. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just came for my guitar to play my music, and then when I'm done, I'm gone. When they're done, I'm gone. But you know what I find out? Who am I that you keep me in your mind? I realize this. Anyone is in Christ, you become a new creation. So this heart that I had, that just being so rude. People who grew up in our community, they knew me. They knew how rude I was. I just didn't care. It's like, I'm telling you the truth in your face. But then I'm telling you the truth in your face. I don't care about relationship. You see, telling the truth without love closes people's heart. And what I'm telling you right now is something that I have learned. I've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. Because sometimes we have such a zeal to tell people the truth, we're breaking relationships. When in reality, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, Paul is like, yes, you desire the gift. You go after God's heart, but let me show you a better way. Because you could be so gifted. But if you don't know how to connect with people's heart, you're just relating information. People are actually going to see you like a bully. And that's why I love 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because in the first four verses, it covers the fivefold ministry gifts abilities. It says, if I could speak all languages on earth and angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, if I had the gift of prophecy, wow, revealing God's intention, that's awesome. If I had that gift, but yet, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possess all knowledge, wow, how amazing, eh? How amazing a person like that can be. Man, you're like, you know what? He's a man of God. She's a woman of God. Guess what? Oh, man, the gift of prophecy is so strong. Man, they have a fire for God to go and be an apostle. They have the zeal, the holy zeal to be out there for outreach, for evangelists. But yet, it says, if I don't know how to love, that's nothing. You see how many times we put emphasis on the gift and fail to acknowledge people's character. Remember, I told you, never prioritize charisma over character. Because when God calls you, he's going to shape your character to his character. The key is to be like God, reflect his image, not to show how well-spoken we can be. As a matter of fact, Paul came, he's like, guys, when I came before you, the only thing I acknowledged was the cross. Not that I know this, I know that. If I give everything, oh wow, look at this, guys, verse 3. If I give everything I have to the poor, wow, that's very good. You did that? You give all your possession to the poor? Send it on mission trip? And you live in a cardboard box? What do you do when it's cold? I'm reading this. I'm like, man, you all that? Man, how awesome. Oh, God bless you, man. How is that possible? But even sacrifice my own body. You know, 3 days of fast. 24, you know those people? I've done them. 3 days fast, man. I've fasted all the time. 15 days of fast, staying hungry to seek God. And I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And this is where I tell you, don't go too far to look for what love is. Love is patient. And love is kind. Something I've learned back in 2017. It's a very simple phrase. It says, to be unclear is to be unkind. When you're not clear, you give room for hypocrisy. To be unclear is to be unkind. Always be clear. I make it a priority. You never have to guess where I'm coming from, because I want to be clear. If you're guessing, come on, please, come talk to me. Love is kind. You know what kind is? It's kind, come on. You just be kind. You're not rude. You give the other person time to listen. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love is not jealous. Jealousy is wanting the other person's stuff. Love is not boastful, talking about all your achievement. Really, people don't need to know how many degrees I have. It doesn't matter. What would it serve? People don't need to know how many miracles I've seen. Really, that's my personal conviction. Somebody wants to boast about it, go for it. Love is not proud. Ooh, help us, Lord. Proud. You know, proud can keep you out as well. The other side of being proud is you don't need help. You can figure it out by yourself. When really, God didn't create you to live by yourself, figure life out by yourself. You need each other. You need me, I need you. I need you, you need me. We best family as it could be. I need you. And if you think you can do life by yourself, you got trapped by the enemy. You know, prideful will cause you to build this little box where you live in it. You don't want anybody else in that box, because when you let people in that box, they're gonna realize that you fart too. Yeah, that's what I said. You fart. They're going to realize you fart. You know, when you let people very close, can you imagine? Jesus, he lived with those guys. They farted. Everybody's so serious. I know. We all do it. We're too serious sometimes, you know, just laugh a little. I'm talking about this box, you know, that box we built, the prideful box. You don't want people in. You don't want your soul to be fixed. No, you don't want your soul to be fixed because you have this box. You know, you want to project this image that, yeah, it's all good. You know, how many times I say, if I can't pastor my kids, Kendra, I have no business pastoring you, because they see me when I'm vulnerable. And if when I'm under pressure, I can't still be the same person, I need a lot more grace. Talking about the gifts. We want to be gifted. But yet, without love, we gain nothing. We have temporary result. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. So please, ask yourself, how am I rude? Ask yourself, are you short when you're under pressure? About a smile. You know, some people don't like to smile. That's kindness. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. Lord, help me, Jesus. Love is not irritable. Easily offended. Some people in the church, man, my goodness, God help us. Offend easy. You can't talk to them. Oh, how about this one? Love does not keep and keeps no record of being wronged. Oh, would you pray right now? Lord, help us. Come on. Anybody else wants to do that? Lord, help us. How many times we keep record of the wrong people have done to us? You know, if I keep a record of how people wronged me, I would not go to church. My kids can testify. I would hate people in church too. How people misuse, misjudge, abuse. Yeah. And how so many days I've wasted to be with my kids and being out there with them. And by the time I get home, they suck the life out of me. And then by the time I get home, I had nothing to play with my kids. They saw it. If I would keep a record of being wronged, man, I'd be like some of the others. I'll stay away. And that's when you're in danger. Danger of hell. Love does not keep a record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoice whenever the truth wins. Love never gives up, never lose faith. It always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Lord, help us. And then this is it. The fivefold ministry gifts will end. Prophecy, speaking in unknown language, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit down here on earth will end. It will become useless. But love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, and I like this, remember the fivefold ministry gifts, God gives them to equip and to bring us to maturity. It makes no sense for us, for people in the church, to be in church for 15 years and still baby spiritually. Just like we grow physically, you should grow spiritually. You're either growing or you're dying. If you're not growing, check to see if you die. Check to see if you will. When I was a child, I thought, spoke like a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, maturity, I put on all childish things away. Now I see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflection in a mirror. But when we will see everything, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And all that I know is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows everything completely. Three things will last forever. What is it? It's faith, hope. Man, come on, guys. Let's go after these. It's faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is what? It's being a prophet. Come on. It's being a pastor. It's being the most powerful evangelist out there. It's being a powerful teacher. Man, I'm going to open your eyes with this revelation. It's being the best deacon you can be. No. It's love. And thank God that Jesus showed us how to do it. And he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to do it. Amen? Let's stand. So Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that you are talking to us. And we trust that you will bring forth the seeds that needs to come through these teaching. Lord, I thank you that you are changing our mind from being consumers to action people, to people who understand we believe, we belong to the body of Christ, and we are gifted. Lord, I thank you for the prophets in our midst. Lord, I thank you for the evangelists. Lord, I thank you for the teachers. Lord, I thank you for people with the ability to lead and do it well. Lord, I thank you for people in our midst, God, who serve, but then they serve with excellence. Lord, I thank you for that. Jesus, this is not just a sermon to teach. We understand, God, that you are equipping the saints. This is what you're speaking all over the place right now, God. And we choose to serve you. We choose to submit under this teaching. Lord, thank you for teaching us the right way. The best of it all is love. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for all the times we misrepresent you as church leaders. For what's happening out there. People seek church leadership for what they can get out of it. For the lights, for the fame. Thank you, Lord, that you are changing our hearts. And make it like yours. So today I bless your sons and your daughters. And I pray that these seeds would fall in their hearts. And Holy Spirit, you would cause it to bring forth fruit. You are so good to us, Father. And now just stretch out your hands. I pronounce a blessing on you. May the Lord bless you. May you be known as God's people. Father, I pray that you'd bless our mothers, spiritual mothers. You know, grandmothers, you know, every lady is here, God, or out there, God. Today, some of them might be a hard day for them, missing their parents, missing their kids. Whatever it is, God, I pray that you would fulfill their hearts today. Satisfy them in you. We are very thankful for the mothers in our lives. We bless you, Lord. And I bless you guys in the name of Jesus. And you saints say, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Make it a great day, and let's do it again soon.